Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
It's that time of night, you can't stay uptight. So come and join the people and I'm feeling all right. Here on Overnight America. Overnight America.
Yes, yes, yes. I am so looking forward to the weekend. We have a couple more hours together and I would like to spend those hours with you, and we do that pretty much every late night anyway, right? Hey, if you're listening, I know you listen 4 hours every night, right? What, do I need to bribe you? No, I try to make a fun, entertaining show for you, but on Thursday nights and a Friday, I try to be a little bit more flexible. So if there's something that you may have missed this week or something you didn't get a chance to call in on, this is the time to do it if you want to at 314-436-7900. So I was talking a little bit about the Chaz Zone and why in the world, and I didn't get a real chance to talk about this more, why in the world wouldn't the networks want to cover the violence that's going on in this area?
Zero coverage, CNN, MSNBC, primetime coverage of CHOP this week. So why has the mainstream media stopped covering Seattle?
Well, this is exactly, Brian Stelter said it. They're covering it. They're using the Occupy Wall Street playbook, and they're pretending that it's peaceful. One reporter even called it chill. Meanwhile, they ignore the violence.
Wait, one person called it chill? Do you know that slang? It's chill, as in, oh, man, it's like cool, man. Are you kidding me? You would describe that anarchy as chill? Ugh. You know what this reminds me of? And actually, it reminds me of something in a lot worse condition, a lot unstable condition. So they had this documentary out called, it was about the Fry Festival. So it was a bunch of rich kids that spent a ton of money to go to a private island to go party and watch concerts and do all of these things. So all these rich kids show up. The facilities are not there. The food is not there. The water is not there. And they can't get off the island because it's this small, tiny area and transportation's hard to do. Didn't get the entertainment. Didn't get anything. Terrible experience. They ran away with all these rich kids' monies. So now I think about this Chaz area and all the promises of, oh, the utopia of living on the streets. Isn't that great? As if they couldn't have consulted a homeless person in Seattle to ask, is it glamorous living on the streets of Seattle? You think any of them would have said, oh, let me tell you, if only more people would know how life is like out here, everyone would come out and decide this is their way of living. Of course not. It's dangerous and as they lay out in this Fox report, it's bad.
Chill. Meanwhile, they ignore the violence. In a situation where it's supposed to be Black Lives Mattering, they ignore that a young African American was killed in the violence. The chief of police says that there's rapes and robberies, and meanwhile the media are saying, "Oh, it's cool." That's standard media playbook, pretend the truth is not really happening.
Wow. You know, when Hallmark starts to produce these like Christmas movies, the ones that you'll see at the end of the year, I don't know, I would almost like to see Chaz made into a Hallmark special somehow. There's a guarantee that there's going to be COVID type of storyline for Christmas, right? It's a very COVID Christmas. We were so far apart, but really, we were closer than we've ever been. You know, there'll be taglines like that, and they'll show them all having a good time and fake snow and dancing and going around and cookies and hot cocoa. That's the type of Hollywood way, at least the Hallmark way, if they would look at a Christmas special. I would almost like to watch a Chaz Zone Christmas. Finding love and Chaz. You know, they're coming together with the common goal of they love to light cars on fire and shoot guns up in the air and pay $6 for a hot dog if they could find any of that to begin with. Urban crops and all of the things that go on in there. Oh, man, wouldn't that be a great storyline? So forget about this. Seattle, this is an absolute shame you allowed this charade to go on as long as you had. I had a couple of other things about this COVID, and I didn't get real chance to go into it too deep. Maybe I'll do some of that right now. Why? Because why not? So COVID-19, it's starting to make a comeback. COVID part two. A lot of people are warning that, yeah, what we're seeing right now, how easy it is that it could flare back up again, and you can see these cases. It's a combination of better testing, as in we've been able to ramp up and continue to keep high levels of testing up there. I think the true thing you should be looking for is the hospitalizations and the ones that are actually getting sick where they need medical treatment, as in you can test someone. You can find out that they were COVID positive, maybe not currently, but at some point, and then you'd add their number to the list of people that have been tested positive for it, but they don't need medical attention, as in their immune system's able to fight it off to begin with. Once you separate the numbers of those that needed medical attention and compare it to, are we getting more people into the hospital? Are we in a threat to overload the system? Then I think you get a better look at just really how this thing rolls out. And then again, you still want to be able to do things safely. You don't want to have to close the government and the entire economy down for a second wave. And that's what they're warning about. Dr. William Schaffner from Vanderbilt talked about a second wave.
Initially, the virus was introduced from China, and it went to major metropolitan areas. And of course, we developed some hot spots there. Then over time, it began to go to medium-sized cities. And now over the summer, it's going to smaller cities, and it's now getting out to rural areas. So whereas it was rather geographically constrained initially, now it's spreading out across the country. And when the fall comes and influenza takes off and COVID takes off, all of a sudden it's going to take off all across the country, and we're going to be stuck in a very bad place. The time to normalize wearing masks and social distancing behavior is now, so that we get used to it by the time the fall arrives. And I'm very concerned that the second wave this fall will be substantially greater than what we have experienced so far.
That's from Vanderbilt. So I got to say, I am not an expert, of course, and I'm sure you, the caller, not an expert either, but we can still talk about these things because that's how life works. I think that some of the things that they've mentioned before about the second wave and how we'll be, number one, better prepared for this, we'll have better handle on the equipment that we'll need. We'll have a better idea of the best ways to treat it. And who knows, maybe we'll even have further testing down the line. So by the end of the year, if things go as perfect as they hope, and maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but let's just say there is an effective treatment by the end of the year, or at least there's an effective vaccine by the end of the year, the second wave is not going to be as bad as the first. I just don't see that happening. I think there's too many things that are working in our corner as we continue to gain knowledge about this COVID-19 that will put us in a much better position. And I think that's been a consistent standpoint that we need to make sure we know. Not that we become comfortable and to say that we need to become relaxed in some of the precautions we're taking, but it means that, hey, no need to go out there and fear and throw this out there that, oh my goodness, we're going to have another 40 million jobs lost and the economy will never open back up and we'll have another, you know, so many people will die and all this fear stuff that you're throwing out there doesn't really help. I think it also isn't as realistic as he thinks it is. So We could take some of your calls on this. We'll take a break. And like I mentioned, too, you know, Thursday nights, I try to keep things a little bit more open. So if there's something else you want to talk about, that's what we could do here tonight on Overnight America, KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Oh, nice and calming. Just the exact opposite of what you would need for a late night show like ours. So, you know, in the next hour, we change that up at midnight. You know what we do Thursday nights into Friday morning? We have a very special theme song. But I did have a listener who messaged me on Facebook. You can, too, at Ryan Recker Radio. Yeah, a listener, let me bring this up real quick, because they recommended a song for us to play on Fridays. So I listened to the song and I said, okay, you know what I'll do? I'll put it up to the listener. If they want this song more than our regular Thursday night into Friday song, then by all means, we could do that. I don't think it'll work that way, but I think it may. All right, so I wanted to play a couple more clips from the doctor, Dr. Schaffner, about a second wave. And I told you why I think a second wave is going to not be as bad as, of course, the first wave. I just don't see it.
First of all, you have to model it. You have to make wearing masks a social norm. Every business has to have a sign outside their door that says, if you wish to patronize us, please come in with a mask. If you haven't got one, we'll give you one. And then everybody who works in the business has to wear it. Religious leaders have to preach that to all faiths all the time. We need chambers of commerce coming out, local political leaders all harmonizing with that message to normalize that behavior in our society. And on occasion, you may indeed have to mandate it.
Harmonize, mandating. You see that story in Oregon? I'll just say this real quick because it was just so ridiculous. There was a county in Oregon that said, well, we're gonna mandate masks unless you're a person of color, because we don't want to give the impression that you're a bandit. That, no joke. So they said, hey, everyone else has to wear it, but hey, you get a free pass if you're a person of color. They've came back and reversed that decision real quick. It's what a stupid idea. If it's a public health issue that you're concerned about, why in the world would you exempt people just because of the color of their skin if they're healthy enough to wear these masks? Some people aren't healthy enough. I understand that. Some people can't do it. One more from Dr. Schaffner.
It's been a confusion of communications about COVID from the beginning. And that...
A confusion of communications about COVID. Wow, the triple C's there.
About COVID from the beginning. And that really impairs what it is that local people can do, because they simply are confused. They're getting conflicting messages. Sure, we need absolutely leadership to show us that we all need to wear masks when we're out and about.
Okay. Now, again, I really don't believe it is 100% necessary for all people all the time. You ever see people driving around town and they're in their car alone wearing a mask, and you think to yourself, well, who are you doing that for? And then it could even be more dangerous sometimes doing things like that, and it scratches your head. So you put those hard and fast rules out there. Some areas don't really have an issue with it. Some do. And I understand that some places have to look it up. Let me play this real quick. Good old Larry Kudlow about learning about the coronavirus.
There's six or eight or nine states that have massive declines in case rates. The fatality rate continues to fall. We don't see any upturn in the fatality rate. The economy is not going to be closed down again. There may be certain places where there is. That's up to the local authorities. I don't deny that. But... fatalities are still down, and there's a lot of positive declines in cases, just as there are negative declines in cases. So, you know, you just have to walk through that. We're going to have hot spots. There's no question. We have them now in, you know, Texas and parts of the South, the Carolinas, Arizona. We just have to live with that.
All right. And what does Dr. Fauci say about all this?
There's no secret formula for that except to say, get past it. You know, it should not be a political issue. It is purely a public health issue. Forget the politics. Look at the data.
Okay. Regarding masks, which is still going on. I want to say a few things. When it comes to the spread, Yeah, it's just more than a few things. Why? Because I can. And why? Because it's my show. So when it comes to the spread and what we're seeing, the upticks, you could try to chalk some of it up for an increased amount of testing, which we've seen too. But you can also try to correlate what else is going on. Is it a combination of people getting out for the first time and then getting loosey-goosey? Is it a combination of people that are protesting and not social distancing? Is there an excuse for some but not all? What's going on here? Because some people are afraid to call out protesters that are in these close proximities yelling and screaming without any of the social distancing guidelines or any protections on. So there are some of those questions that go into this as well, but they don't really put any of that into perspective, which is probably part of the problem, too, that they've changed their mind about 8 different ways while we've been talking about COVID to begin with. The thing that I'm watching now is going to make, I think, the biggest difference is how the job numbers look for June. So in a week from now, I mean, it'll be July 2nd and Friday will be July 3rd. I don't exactly know when we're going to get those job numbers. I think they normally put them out on a Friday, so it could even be that July 3rd if we're lucky. Might not be that early, but who knows. But when the job numbers come out, and if we're trending in the right direction when it comes to unemployment claims, that's going to make a big difference when it comes to determining if there's going to be a second stimulus package or not, or what does that stimulus package look like. So the New York Post wrote an article on this. Second round of coronavirus relief for Americans impacted by the pandemic will hinge on next week's jobs report and early signs of an economy recovery. So I think that's interesting. The country gained 2.5 million jobs in May. That was a huge push up. And what a huge relief that was, that the unemployment rate dropped as opposed to going up. That unemployment rate was at record lows for a long, long time. Then it shot up to almost 15%. It was 14.7%. And then when May's numbers came out, we were all afraid. We thought, what if it hits 20%? What happens then? We're going from record lows to 20%. But the number dropped. It dropped to 13.3%. Somewhat unexpected, but a good sign that we were moving in the right direction, that opening up the economy when we did was a good way to stop the fall, the free fall that we were going into. Let me take a look. I forgot to check. Where did the Dow Jones end? Dow Jones, 25.7. So it went up about 300 points today after having a tough loss yesterday. So it's still right around 25.5 to 26,000. Another good indicator. So what happens when we look at this job reports? Let's say that there are a couple more million jobs that are tacked onto that, and we're going back. Let's say the unemployment rate goes from 13.5% to 12 or maybe even 11.5%. What if something crazy happens? Well, we have seen during this time in June, a lot of areas go back to work. So we could see a good indication of that. So what does that mean for the stimulus? Is there going to be a second stimulus? Is it necessary to have a second stimulus? Here's where I think you need to start shifting the mindset when it comes to a stimulus. And this would be the smart way to do it. When we did the first $3 trillion stimulus, it was, we got to stop the bleeding. It's bad, bad news. And if we don't do something now, there's a lot of people hurting. We got to get cash out. We got to get it out as fast as possible so they can still put food on their table and they don't have to worry about it if they immediately lost a job and it's difficult for them to get claims or whatever it is. So, hey, unemployment benefits, we're going to up those. Give you an extra $600 a week. Good stuff. Okay, we're going to give you a check to every American. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. So they threw everything as fast as they possibly could out the door. And they wanted to just immediately give some relief because they thought this would be the way to at least help some of the economy. Even if you don't need it for putting food on your table, you can maybe go spend it. So some of those businesses that are desperate for business, they'd be able to get a little bit and maybe stay afloat or at least pay some of their staff so they don't have to continue to lay people and furlough people off. So if that changes, if the mindset is things are getting better, the economy is starting to come back, there is confidence that it'll be coming back, then what do you want to do for a second stimulus? I think that it would be important to make sure you're not incentivizing people staying at home. You don't want to incentivize not working. You want to keep the trend in the right direction. Do you need to give another $1,200 per adult? Probably not. Probably not. So where do you focus that stimulus on? What's the one thing that could best help the American people without constantly throwing out trillion dollars at a time and trillion dollars here and trillion dollars there? What's the best thing you can do? I think the best thing you can do is we got to get that unemployment rate down again. We got to get people working. And there's got to be assurances that in the future we got a little bit saved into the side so that when we're facing some pretty catastrophic problems, if there's another housing crisis, that we don't find ourselves in another hole and we start crashing the economy yet again. That's the stuff that I think we need to be focusing on with the stimulus. Some things that are down the line so we can have some sort of protection that if things go south, in some way it may, but if things do go south, we'll have something prepared as opposed to being unprepared. We can take some of your calls on this. We're going to take a look at your weather coming up at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I also want to talk about a little bit more when it comes to the stimulus. Inmates were given money when they shouldn't have. Dead people are given money when they shouldn't have. There's a lot of things they need to learn from. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And here we are, Overnight America. I wanted to read a couple of things about the stimulus and the COVID and whatnot. So The Hill did a report on something, and bear with me for a moment. I do have a point, even though most people listening right now would think to themselves, does he ever have a point? Ever? So the Treasury Department and the IRS sent nearly 1.1 million coronavirus stimulus payments to dead people, totaling $1.4 billion. $1.4 billion to dead people. Now, if that's the case, the Treasury and the IRS says they did not use the death records to stop payments to decrease individuals for the first three batches of payments because the legal interpretation under the IRS was operating. So they go back and look at the taxes that were filed for last year. Payments sent to deceased individuals are small when compared to the overall number of payments made in the billions and billions and billions. So $1.4 billion versus the $270 billion that went out as of May 31st, but it's still $1 billion. Why are they sticking their nose up to $1 billion+? So here's my point in all of this. If they sent out 1.1 million stimulus payments and they put out $1.4 billion in those payments without thinking twice, how in the world do you think they would ever be able to have a national, send your ballot in for a national election, for the general election for the president of the United States? How in the world do you think they'd be able to manage and be able to accurately make sure that those are accurately depicting your vote, a human being that's alive and is legally allowed to vote? How in the world, if they can't figure it out for $1 billion, how do you think they're going to be able to figure it out in time for a 2020 election? Seriously, if there's no safeguard and they could waste $1 billion, and you think when we're in the debt we're in right now, that $1 billion would mean something. It's not just it's just no big deal, $1 billion. No, we need to be realistic. We owe money. We are not in the money tree business. But for whatever reason, we can throw it out there. How do you think, if they can't manage that they would be able to manage mail-in voting? Not a chance. Not even close to a chance. So IRS officials said they're working with a group to try to recoup some of that money that was sent out there. And no, if you're a dead person, it just doesn't roll over to you, and you don't get to keep it if you're a family member of that dead person. So here's another one, too. From Time magazine, U.S. inmates mistakenly received COVID-19 stimulus checks. So hundreds of thousands of dollars in COVID relief payments may have been sent to people incarcerated. Legislation authorizing the payments during the pandemic doesn't specifically exclude jail or prison inmates, and the IRS has refused to say exactly what legal authority they have to try to get that money back from those in prison. So I think the mindset is probably true here. I think the mindset is that, you already have everything taken care of. You're in prison, right? So it's not like you are threatened to getting kicked out or evicted from your home, or there's no threat of you not getting a meal or a medical treatment or losing your job because you're in prison. So the intent of it is you're not just getting a bunch of extra money for the sake of getting it. The whole idea is try to help people that are in this economy that are suffering, and maybe if you had a little bit extra, you can go put it back into the economy. Not the cigarette economy or whatever else that you would be going around a prison. Not that I know. I just watch some TV shows, and I'm guessing that's a thing. Probably a thing, right? So they don't really know a legal basis to recover that, but then again, I don't know why they wouldn't be able to. Says, I think it's really disingenuous of the IRS, they say. It's not a rule just because the IRS puts it on the website. In fact, the IRS actually says that stuff is on the website, isn't legal authority. So, they can't take the money back. No, take the money back from the prisoners. No problem with that whatsoever. Seriously. No problem. I don't think that if you are incarcerated and you're not going anywhere, you're sticking around for a while, that you should be included. And I'm guessing that when they wrote this legislation, they probably didn't have every single scenario planned out because they were trying to get this out as fast as possible, draft it in a way, and they thought, oh, I guess that maybe we don't include this and we include that. Then again, I guess there's a difference between those. Oh, and by the way, if they didn't file taxes, if you're in jail, do you file taxes? Is that something? Do you do that? Because I thought the whole idea was they were basing this off of what you filed in 2019. Maybe these are people that are newly incarcerated that filed for 2019 but then found themselves in prison. Maybe there's a scenario like that. Well, it's only some people that are in jail right now. But if you're not going anywhere, then no, keep it there. 314-436-7900. This COVID stuff and stimuluses, I really think that we are getting close to figuring out if there's a second package on the way. And I really hope that things are better. And I was thinking about this too. As much as I would like for my own personal benefit to get a little extra money and say, oh, I could buy this now. Oh, wouldn't it be nice to have this? Oh, would it be great? Right? Even though that would be nice, I know that it is something in the long run that's going to hurt you even further. I really want you to weigh the pros and cons. If you're someone that has the inclination to believe, what's the big deal if the government's going to send me, you know, an extra $1,200? Oh, what's the big deal? Because of the grand scheme of things, it's nothing for government. Think about this. Down the line, when we're so far in debt, they got to cut things like Social Security, the things that you're paying into. Is it worth to have decades of your life losing on the income that you paid into and they said would be there for you, because you know for sure they're not going to be able to keep up with it? Or think about anything else you pay into when it comes to the government standpoint. Would you like it if they just, by the time it's there for you, but it was there for your parents, it was there for your grandparents, but not there for you anymore? Is it really worth it to risk all of those benefits later on in life when you really need it? Just because you could use a $1,200 check right now. Now, that is a terrible investment. Here, we got to really get our finances back on track. We have to start realizing that we have to earmark some of these savings and things that we're doing. When we get to the point where we are trying to say to ourselves, we better just put more trillions of dollars into this or that, but we're going to deal with it later. We got to realize that if you're just going to willy-nilly throw it out there, it's going to come back and bite you. In the future, some point it's going to do that, unless you actually have a plan in order to pay this stuff back, which we don't, and we're already far into debt. 314-436-7900 on Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Brought this up just briefly with Big Al at the very start of the show, but I want to ask you, anyone listening right now, have they started the fireworks in your neighborhood yet? Sometimes I'll be sitting down here and I'm just getting ready to do the show and all of a sudden you hear it outside.
And you know, now another moment of Ryan Recker getting old.
Get that junk out of here. No one likes you for shooting fireworks off in your neighborhood. What happens? Everyone looks around, they say, you got to be kidding me. Who's doing that? Who's the knucklehead shooting that off in the neighborhood? People don't like you shooting stuff off in the neighborhood. You have to do it where it's appropriate. If you're in a subdivision living next to each other, you know, some of these places, you find during the 4th of July, fires are started because the fireworks are landing in dumpsters and things like that. This is bad news. Is your neighborhood finding that the fireworks are starting a little bit early? 314-436-7900. Producer Mike writes in, children love it. No, children don't love it. They might like enjoying the fireworks. They don't like in their house making it sound like there was a big explosion outside that they were having no part of. No. Bring it to the fireworks displays. Bring it to the people out there that can handle that sort of thing. Or go out to a piece of property where you can do that sort of thing without being within 20 yards of a neighbor's front door or a wall or something like that. Enough with it. There's actually two different stories, and I'm going to just try to appeal to you for a moment. There's this one story in Tennessee. A 20-year-old golden retriever just won the record, the oldest dog, golden retriever, living dog in history. So I had no idea that golden retrievers or dogs in general could live to be 20. That is amazing to me. She's lived there since she was 14 at this one house. A lot of times people give up the dogs when they get to a certain age, and it's a real sad thing that some people would surrender dogs just because they're old. It breaks my heart. But to know that this dog was taken in by a loving family in Tennessee, and they continue to love for this dog at the age of 14, now has lived to the age of 20. This little sweetheart dog, I'm looking at the gray face. You can barely even see the eyes because it's the face is so gray all the way around. What a good-looking dog laying there right next to that little dog bone-shaped cake. And there's all kinds of pictures. Happy 20th birthday. The dog's name's August. Every time you light a little firecracker or something off, that little 20-year-old golden retriever dies a little inside, and you're doing it. That dog dies a little. I have heard it two nights in a row here. In fact, you know what happened the other night? It just started in our neighborhood, and I got a little bit freaked out because we have a gas oven, and the one, it's like a heat igniter. I forgot exactly what it's called. So there's different ways that these gas ovens could ignite. You know, when you turn the burner on, it kind of tick, 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 tick. It has a click to it, so it has like an igniter that way, and finally it ignites the gas, and you know, the burner's going from there. Inside the oven, it's a little bit different. They have like these little, they look like rectangles, and it's a little like filament or something like that that heats up, and it heats up, and because it heats up close to the gas, it lights the oven that way. And the one in our oven, the bottom one, went out. So I have to replace it. I got to buy a replacement part. So I turn the gas off to the oven just to be safe. And I do this, and I order the part, and no gas going into that oven whatsoever. All of a sudden, I'm doing the radio show last night, and I hear a firework go off outside. And for a moment, I think, what if it wasn't an oven problem? What if it was a bigger problem? And something just exploded, and I got a big hole outside of my yard right now. And I screwed something up and didn't even know it. So I'm freaking out because I'm doing a show last night. I'm doing an interview, and I'm thinking, I got to get outside and inspect my house to make sure there's not a crater out there. But really, it was just some dude on the block shooting something off. I got to say, I hope you're not the ones to do that. I really don't. Here's a couple of text messages. Some people can't get out of their homes to appreciate fireworks, so I'm just going to spread some freedom. You are not going to do that. Watch from your home. We're going to blow things up in the streets. Don't be that person. Like I mentioned, I want you to think about that 20-year-old golden retriever. Every time there's a blast that goes off, that 20-year-old golden retriever dies a little inside because of you. Or how about this one? There's this one story over in California. Riverside County resident reports their pets died after trying to escape the sound of illegal fireworks. They're illegal. Illegal. Let me put it again. The places that these are going off, they're not legally allowed to do that. They're just doing it anyway. Here's CBS LA.
Sharon Holmberg no longer has a use for all this hay. She just lost her beloved horse.
Sir Halter.
Here Gamera was in all her glory, captured on this 35-millimeter slide 3 decades ago.
She's got a 35-millimeter slide of her horse, which she's holding up to the sun to show the news camera. I don't know, is that the only picture you have of your horse?
3 decades ago. The Arabian horse was 33 years old.
Oh, wow.
She could have lived 38, 40 years.
So wait, horses could live that long? 40 years? Wow.
Spooked the old girl. The explosions have been rattling their Riverside County neighborhood nearly every night for the last 3 weeks.
It's just horrendous booms.
Last Friday,
Yeah. Illegal. Let me just say this again. Illegal. And these are happening in neighborhoods where it is illegal. Cut it out. Cut it out. You know, go find a way to do it legally. Cut it out blowing things up illegally in the neighborhood. So here's what happened to the horse.
Last Friday, Gamera tried to run away from the noise in the corral she shared with these two emus, but she was blind. Yep. She slammed into the wooden fence, badly injuring her leg and face.
Scratched up her nose.
Poor little blind horse ran into the fence, had internal injuries, later died.
And cut them.
Days later, Sharon learned Gamera also suffered internal injuries. Her veterinarian needed to put her down, so Sharon got her halter.
It was so sweet.
Aww.
Sorry.
Sharon left a note about her horse's death on mailboxes in her community for whoever has been setting off the fireworks. Another neighbor added on.
It's a very passive-aggressive note, by the way. It's like, I hope you're happy. No, what did it say on there? I wish I can see it. It was they had it in the article, or they had it in the video. I was watching the news report here from CBS Los Angeles. But eventually it said, hey, firework guy, you killed my horse. You killed my horse. Thanks a lot. And then there was another note right underneath that note. The one was, ooh, my dog ran out, got loose, and got hit by a car and killed my dog, too. All these things going on. So I just want you to remember this sweet, precious, beautiful 20-year-old golden retriever makes it to 20 years. You're killing that dog a little bit each time you light off one of those fireworks. Killing it. And think about this, too, when you're in a neighborhood. If I find out who you are doing this in our neighborhood and you wake my kid up and then you give a headache to us because, you know, the kid's having a hard time and, you know, there's people here with little babies, things like that. It's not easy to put them to sleep when you got some knucklehead firing something off that they shouldn't be firing off. And it's illegal for them to do it to begin with. Oh, there should be some retaliation for that. We're talking Liam Neeson style retaliation. You don't mess with a parent with a young child that they were able to just get down into bed and now they're up. Whoa. That's a major, major issues that you're forcing out there. We have one more hour of Overnight America coming up. And I'm telling you, don't be that guy in the neighborhood firing off these fireworks when they're illegal. Last hour of the show, I'm going to start with something a little bit different. I had a listener. Let me look up the name of that listener real quick. I just had it here a second ago. But I'm on Facebook, Ryan Recker Radio. You can actually go and like the page. You could interact with us. It was Abby who messaged me. She said, ooh, I got a new song for you. Oh, I got a song for you. It's a Friday song that you can play on Fridays, and I'm actually excited to play it for you. You can hear it. We have a traditional Thursday night song that I think people enjoy. What we're going to do is also play what could be the new song that we play on Thursday nights, and I'll let you vote if we should make a change. Okay? So that's coming up in the next hour. If you like the Rebecca Black that we play, you're going to want to call in, and you're going to want to defend that song because it could be going away if you don't come and vote on it. One more hour of Overnight America Live tonight, and then we do a replay from 1 until 2. Love to hear from you. Last hour of the week on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.